traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to the International Equine Network Equestrians. This is an exciting time of the year for the thoroughbred. This is going to be our At the Wire show. It's going to take up our whole hour of the show. It's about the Kentucky Derby. And it's all the things that are leading up to the Kentucky Derby. We've got a lot to talk about. We're very excited. The weather in Kentucky is not good. It's been raining a lot. And that's going to propose problems for a lot of our horses. They're not taking to the track too well. We've had two or three that have opted out of the Derby to go to Saratoga to run in the Jim Dandy. So we're going to touch base with all those today. But first, we're going to start with where to watch the Kentucky Derby at. Eventually, we'll get our website back up with GoDaddy, and you'll be able to see it there. But NBC Sports is going to broadcast the Kentucky Derby, 146th Kentucky Derby, September 5th, and it starts at 2:30 p.m. on NBC Live from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. So you'll be able to watch that on NBC. They moved it to the first Saturday in May to September 5th because of the COVID. So it's really rearranged a lot of things. They had the Belmont first, which Tis the Law won, and he won it easily. And then he came back and he ran in the Travers and he won that. And so now it's to the Kentucky Derby. All these three-year-olds are now seasoned horses. They're veterans. There's no excuse. They're not green. They've done what they've had to do to get to where they're at right now. And that's at Churchill. And everybody's just hoping for, their horse to fill into the body that they've built so far. And, we're going to find out who's who, on NBC on Saturday. And tomorrow we have the Kentucky Oaks on September 4th. That starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN with the Kentucky Oaks. That's always a great day there. It's a filly day. You see a lot of good horses running, so that would be a good Friday afternoon to, spend some time with family and friends and watch everything is what you got to do. So that starts tomorrow at 3 p.m. on NBCSN. And then one of the other things that we were talking about is a lot of YouTube. There's a lot of YouTube channels out there now that has the horse industry in mind. And, you can go to YouTube and click on, next week they start the Pimlico YouTube. Start on that and on YouTube. And that'll take you right up to the Preakness. And it's exciting day tomorrow and Saturday. NBC's got a great program lineup, good stories, good backstories, as they call them, to what's going on in the Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. And then one of the things that they are going to highlight on NBC will be the new starting gate. The debut of the 20-horse starting gate is now at Churchill. And so it's going to be – this adds a lot to the race. It's going to be a jockey's race. They all start on an even keel. It's raining at Churchill. They've never been in a gate that size before. It's going to be interesting to see. It'll be the first Kentucky Derby with the 20-stall starting gate. And I was just thinking yesterday when we got the post position for Tis the Ball, he drew 17. And he's completely on the outside of the gate. And that's an awful long way down to the rail. It's an awful long way down to mid-stretch. It's an awful long way down to the front of the pack. So that's why I'm saying that this Derby is going to be a jockey's race, because not only do you have to come out of the 20-horse starting gate at an even keel, you've got to position yourself to get into that first turn. And you literally have a quarter of a mile to get there. And it's going to be difficult because a lot of bumping, you know, a lot of jostling is going to go on. How do you ride the race? Who do you follow? Will speed hold in that track? You know, there's a lot to this. And the starting gate is the key to the whole thing for any of the jockeys, any of the horses there. Before, you used to have the dual starting gate, and if you were on the outside, you can let everything on the inside of you break to the rail and establish a pattern at a relatively slow pace. You know, nobody wants to bang into each other. Nobody wants to cut anybody off. And so you get some time to line up, you can position yourself. But this 20-horse starting gate, it's going to be very difficult for the outside horse. They've got to take the long way around, or they got to wait and let everything go in front of them and drop down to the rail. And that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough, especially for Tis the Long. Tis the Long, which is the Derby favorite this year, that's Churchill's only track that he lost a race in. Every other place he's done very well, you know. But he just, you know, for some reason or another, he had a bad day at Churchill, and you know, that time back in the spring. And so we'll have to find out, you know, if he's got that past him. And now, and having said that, now you throw in a new starting gate, 20-horse starting gate, and then you throw the rain and the mud in on top of that. So, you know, you're in a pretty bad spot out there, because, one, you got a muddy track, you got all that mud coming back in your face. You're going to have, literally, you're going to have 15, 16 horses in front of you that you've got to weed your way through and see, you know, how fast you can get, you know, to a striking position. And believe you me, it's going to take a mile and an eighth easy to get in striking distance of any horse in that field. It's going to be tough. And like I said, the track conditions are a whole different set of circumstances, you know, with it. It's just going to be tough. And one of the things I like about this new starting gate is it kind of puts everybody, you know, in a right spot. What it does is it can take a good horse like Tis the Law, and they really have to think the race out, you know, between the trainer, between the jockey and the owner. How are they going to get, you know, get through this race? The horses on the inside, is going to be interesting, because basically what my recommendation would be is if you got an inside post, you get out there as far as you can, as fast as you can, for as long as you can. And the reason I say that is I remember that Dwayne Lucas with Winning Colors, he said, you get out as far as you can, as fast as you can, as far as long as you can. And that filly ended up winning the Derby. And I think that could be one of the scenarios on Saturday, is the fact that some of these inside horses might just, you know, try to go for it all right off the bat, make them catch them. And, you know, that could be good. And then the horses that are in the middle of the gate, they can pretty much pick and choose where they want to go. Like I said, depending on track conditions on Saturday, you know, you have to see how the early races are holding up. If speed holds, if they're coming from off the pace, if the track's just, you know, a tough track to get a hold of, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to determine how you run your horse. And I know good and well, with all the rain that they're having there, and they're spending pretty much 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day with the jockeys and with the trainers, and watching a lot of film of all the horses. Who could be a mudder, who could be a closer. You know, they're spending a lot of time really evaluating this race. And this probably will be one of the most thought-out Kentucky Derbies by a trainer, owner, and jockey of any that we've had in the past. I would say that they're probably spending more time on a lot of different things, on how to shoe the horse, what kind of shoes should they be running in, you know, how many goggles am I going to have to wear, you know, to keep the mud out of my face. You know, the horses that have blinkers, you know, how much mud are they going to take on those blinkers? You know, there's so much. And that's one thing that you'll like about on NBC on Saturday. They're going to go over all those things. They're going to talk about, you know, all the different scenarios. And it's going to be a good program on Saturday. You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier was Bob Baffert's horses. Bob comes in with a strong, strong group of horses. And we're going to start with his horses that he's going to be running in the Kentucky Oaks. Bob, I swear, this game, she might be a colt. She looked like one. Yeah, it's really going to be a good race. It's along the King's Kentucky Oaks. It says the focus during a 31 draw was clearly on Gamey. It's Swiss Skydiver. Gamey is the even money morning line favorite due to post 5. Swiss Skydiver, 8-5, will be asked to break from the rail. So we're going to see a little bit of jockey positioning here. This Swiss Skydiver coming from the rail, you know, can come out of there like a can, be shot out of there like a can. And then, you know, we're looking at Gamey. Post 5 is not that far out, but, you know, from the jump, she's going to be a little bit behind Swiss Skydiver. And the Oaks is worth $1,250,000. It's from the 3-year-old fillies. It's race 12 on a 13-race card at Churchill Downs. And you'll be able to watch it on NBC. Go to NBC to find out where you can watch it at on your local satellite or a local station. And, but the thing that I like about this race is Gamey winning. She won the 1 mile Longines Acorn Stakes at Belmont Park and the 7-furlong Test Stakes at Saratoga. So Gamey has got the talent to get out and get gone quick. She's really got that talent there. Bob Baffert could add this to it and make it a 3-time Kentucky Oaks winner for him. Back in 1999, Silver Bullet Day, Plum Pretty in 2011, and Alba Tasman in 2017. Baffert likes the post 5, he said. Being in the middle is always good. Right now, most important thing is that she shifts well. She relaxes. She does good. She takes a break in training and really, really relaxes. So that's going to be, you know, something to think about when she's running. You know, she seems to be a little bit older, a little bit more mature than most 3-year-old fillies. She was a $220,000 September Yelling Sale graduate at Keeneland this year. It was a nice filly that she ran. Then they put her in the 2-year-old trading sales at Fassie Tip in Mid-Atlantic, where she was purchased for $1.8 million. So she showed talent early, just as she stands. So a lot of people, you know, were looking at her, and so far she's proven right. She has proven them right. Johnny Velasquez will be aboard him. He's running to the last 2 blowout victories, and he'll be aboard on him on the Oaks. So with Johnny V there, you know you got something. And they asked him about what he thought of the race and how it's going to shape up. He said it depends on how she breaks. She's really quick. She's really quick away from there. She's just fast. She's really fast. He says, I'm not even thinking about that thought right now. We're just focused on getting her there, getting her settled, handling everything very well, the track, the barn, just everything. So, Johnny's got a lot of confidence in her, and that tells me a lot right then and there. With her getting out on a quick break, that means that if she gets out as quick as he thinks she might, they might hook Swift Skydiver and just really be a race, from the get-go between those two, and the rest would just be behind. Swift Skydiver's last six starts have been around two turns. She's a very nice horse. When you go around two turns six times in a row as a three-year-old before the Kentucky Oaks, in which it's granted it's later this year than normally being in the spring, and that says a lot, because when you're out there in two turns, a lot happens. It's all in the brakes. It's how they come down the stretch. You name it, it's just all there. And we'll see how seasoned she is. She's never had to chase anybody like Gamey. I've never had to do that. And also, we're going to find out exactly what it is. And this is an interesting thing about the Swiss Skydiver. The trainer paid $35,000 for her in the select sales at King in September yearling sale. She was bred by One Star Farm. She's out of the Johannesburg Mare Expo Gold. Her victory in the June 6th Santa Anita Oaks came from Post One. So, that's a really big thing in her favor, because she knows what it's like to come out of Post One, and she knows what it's like to run against, very strong horses. We're sitting here looking at Tyler Gasleon will ride Swiss Skydiver. And Tyler is a very good jockey. He's been around. He's been there, done that. And a lot of the horses that Tyler has ridden over the last few years have been horses that have been on the way up. They're getting stronger. They're getting better. Tyler's really good at that. He grew right along with a lot of these horses. And that says a lot, for him and the trainer. It's going to be interesting to see how they come out to do that. I'm thinking from the inside, if they just let her run, it's only going to take one horse to get off a little awkward to change everything. And so that's going to be interesting. And very well could be, and same as in the Derby. One or two horses get off awkward coming down the stretch in the Oaks or the Derby, and that changes the whole ballgame. You've got a lot of things that you got to adjust for, and in the Oaks, with a horse like Gamey, you can't do that. You've got to be right with her wherever she's at. If you're not in front of her, you better be right in her hip pocket, all the way down. I think that what a lot of people are thinking now is that it's just these two. But now, we're talking about an off track. And with that off track, you never can tell who's going to step up and shine. A lot of these horses have never been on a muddy track, and some have. And so we're going to find out, both in the Oaks and the Derby, how these horses are going to handle these tracks. It's going to be really interesting. And so that's why I think it'll be a good afternoon tomorrow on NBC Sports to watch and see what happens. But the Kentucky Oaks, it's going to be race 12 tomorrow. It's a grade 1 mile and an eighth on the dirt. It's worth $1,250,000 for three-year-old fillies. And post time, Eastern time, will be 5:45 p.m. So we've got nine horses that'll be running. Swiss Skydiver from Post One with Tyler Gasleon and Kenny McPhee is the morning line favorite at 8-5. We have Tempers Rising with Julian LaPerouille for Dallas Stewart. It's at 51, breaking from Post Two. We have Donna Velos. Richard Santana Jr. is the trainer. Simon Callahan will be your trainer, and 15-1 in Frederick and Post 3. Now, here's a horse that I really like. It's a Florida bred, not because it's Florida bred, but I just like the way this horse runs. And Javier Castellano, there we go, from Michael McCarthy at 5-1. And this horse, let me tell you, it's going to surprise a lot of people. Break it from the middle of the pack, and it'll have a chance. She'll have a chance to, follow whoever takes the lead, or just settle in and come from off the pace. But again, we go back to the track. It's muddy track. It's raining. We don't know how she's going to handle it. And Speech is at 5-1. And she'll be breaking inside of Gamey, which has Johnny Velasquez for Bob Baffert at 1-1. And so we know that if Speech stays with Gamey and stays on the inside of him, that could propose a problem, on the inside for Gamey to get down to the rail. And, she could keep her out in the middle of the track. And, we don't know what will happen there. But the thing that concerns me with that is that the Speech on the inside of Gamey, with that kind of quality of horse and a seasoned horse like that on the inside, it could be, very well be that Gamey might hook Speech, and if they hook each other up, they could be chasing each other, every step of the way from the get-go. And then again, that would make it really nice for Swiss Skydiver, because Tyler Gaffill, if he sees that happening, he could just follow in and then hopefully, they'll run each other out, and Tyler would be there with Swiss Skydiver and all. And then this horse is Sherry Duval has a horse by the name of Baroness. I'm sorry for the pronunciation of that to the owners of the horse. The Raphael Bejarano's on there. And I've seen Raphael come from out of nowhere with horses. I've seen him set Chili on a horse and just wait. And, you think, oh, my goodness, he's never going to make it. He's never going to make it. And then all of a sudden at the wire, he's in full stride running past. So he's in a good spot on the outside also to where he could follow in right behind, Speech and Game. So I think that horse really takes a good look. She's the Daredevil. Brad Cox trained the horse as a 20-1. And Brad Cox always comes ready to run. And Brad is just a fantastic trainer. He's got a great crew, has great owners. And, he wouldn't be there unless they thought this horse could win. And like I said, it's Brad Cox and it's 20-1. And she is a Keeneland grad. Keeneland sale. And then the 8 horse, Hopeful Growth, is Manny Frankel is the jockey on it. And for Anthony Margota, and it's a 30-1. Now, this is a Keeneland grad that I think might have turf in the blood. I think this horse might have a little bit of turf in the blood. And if it comes out to prove out that she does have turf in the blood, then a muddy track will benefit her very well. And then the last one that we have in here is Joe Talamu. And her name is Jareen Marie. And Joe Talamu is a jockey that, I tell you what, that guy wins races any and everywhere. And, so we've got a good jockey field here. We've got a good trainer field. Matthew Williams trains Train Marie, Kentucky bred, and she's at 50-1. But having looked at that, the Oaks over and seeing what all is going on with it, again, it comes back to the track conditions. And I think that we have enough of the quality jockeys in there that have been there and done that, that will know how to maneuver these horses into the right spots. And the trainers, I don't know about the trainers. trainers have done everything that they can do, you know, and basically when you're in a situation like this with track conditions in Churchill and the Kentucky Oaks, and you see everybody, all the trainers out there talking to the jockeys and everything, if you want to know what they're talking about, I'll tell you, because I've been there and done that. I tell you what they're talking about. Every one of those trainers is worried about the look on their face, on the trainer's face. He's got to have that concern to it. He's got to, you know, bob his head up and down, you know, like he's saying something that's important, you know, that will be immortalized after they win the Oaks or the Derby. You know, they got to walk back and forth, and they're thinking about, do I put my hands in my pocket? Do I put my coat over my shoulder like Shug McGahee carries sometimes? You know, or do you go out like D-Lane Lucas, you know, with an Armani suit, you know, all pressed and clean, nice and neat, and real business-like. You know, and then we've got some of the guys in there that will be joking around, you know, trying to ward off the nerves and everything. So basically when they get into the paddock, it's all over and done with except for, they basically tell the jock, you know, give them the whip and the horse and say, you know, here's the keys, you know, it's up to you. You do what you got to do, you know, and you ride the race the way you think it should be run. And basically that's the way it is. You know, 99% of the trainers out there have never ridden in a race. There are some that have, but, you know, when it gets down to breaking the gate, it's all in the jock's hands, you know, and you can't do anything more about it. You've already got the horse trained up to that point. You just tell the jock to have a good, safe race and, you know, do what you need to do and make your own decisions and all. So that's going to be really an interesting one to see tomorrow at the Kentucky Oaks. Like I said, need to watch it. The post times tomorrow afternoon is 5:45, you know, for that. So, you know, I was just thinking, they're all carrying 121 pounds. They're going a mile and an eighth. And that speech, again, six turns already for this time of year, which is really good. And also, I'm kind of excited about that. The thing that I like the most is the bloodlines on these horses. You know, the bloodlines are just unbelievable. You know, it's just you see them and you want to know, oh, man, I got to go back and look up some of these stallions and mares to see how they ran. And that's always fun to do. If you guys go to equibase.com, you can join it for free, and you can get all the printouts for all the races, both domestic and international. And what I like to do is when I get a race like the Oaks here and start looking at some of the breeding and bloodlines on them, is I go to Equibase, and up in the right-hand corner, you can type in the horse's name, and then it will give you a bloodline. It will give you race statistics. It will give you just about any and everything that you could want to see. You know, so it's going to really be good, you know, to go to Equibase. And that's year-round that you can do that. And so now we want to talk a little bit about Dr. Post and French Rocket. They opted to leave the Derby to go run at Saratoga on Saturday in the Jim Dandy. And this is going to be a really nice race for three-year-olds. It's a $200,000 race we're going for. And I tell you, I think that these guys are setting themselves up for the Preakness coming up in 2 weeks. I think that's why they went with Saratoga. You don't know what you're going to be getting at the Derby. You know, who you're going to be running against, who's going to show up, who's not going to show up. But I think this will be good. The one thing that I do like about Dr. Post is he showed up at the Haskell Stakes July 18th at Monmouth, and he finished strong third. It was really good. He said, "My goodness." I said, "Look at this list." And then I kind of wondered about if he kind of tired out or, you know, just what have you. Now, Dr. Post is a Todd Fletcher horse, which he trains at our Palm Beach Hounds facilities in the wintertime. And so a lot of Todd's horses like this come around, they mature late. And I think this horse might be running into a fairly good, or if not a great horse. They didn't abuse him in the high school. He got a lot of education, and he came back out of it pretty good. Todd said he's a high-quality colt, and he trains accordingly. He said he's very happy with him. He showed his quality at the in the Belmont when he ran as close to Tis the Law as anyone ever had. So he's ran a second and a third in two grade one stake races. And so Todd said he's ready to move forward with this horse. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he does, in this race, and then move on down to Pimlico for the Preakness. So that ought to be interesting, with him here. I kind of don't blame him. The Derby's a 20 horse field. Weather conditions can be bad. There's a lot of things that could happen, and I think it's gone pretty good for me. He made the right decision. I said, but who am I, to say anything like that? But what we're looking at is a grade two, mile and an eighth on the dirt, for 3-year-olds, 4:21 p.m. Local time, or Eastern time is the post time for that race, which you'll be able to see on NBC. And so I'm going with Todd Fletcher's second choice. I'm going with Happy Saver. Happy Saver with Jose Lascano. This is going to be a long shot. This is Dr. Post's training partner. And I think this was going to just show up like there is no tomorrow. This is my long shot of the year. Not of the month or the week, but of the year. His name is Happy Satan. He's breaking from the number one post. And I think that he's going to take it to him in the Jim Dandy on Saturday at Saratoga. So now we're getting here close to Derby time. Spent enough time on all this other races that is going to be a great card for Saturday and Friday. Let's see here. What do we have? Oh, my goodness. Look at what we have here. It's Derby favorite, Tis the Law. Draws post 17. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do about that, horse racing fans? The people in Sacagawea Stables that own Tis the Law, they had a horse a few years back called Funny Side. And they kind of brought him along the way. They have, Tis the Law. Barkley Tag trained Funny Side. And now he's got, Tis the Law. But, we've got to go back to remembering that the only race that Tis the Law has lost was at Churchill Downs. And Tis the Law is made the 3-5 morning favorite for this Derby. The last time the early choice was slated as a 3-5 was 1989, and that was easy going and awe-inspiring. And I know those horses because I worked for them, Shug McGahee, and I know how Shug trains. And Shug had the horse ready, but Sunday Sides was just not a bit better that day. And that was a tough one, for him. But there's some other horses that we need to take a look in here that I think are going to make it a very interesting race. Each and every one of these horses that are in here have matured in their season 3-year-olds. They're seasoned 3-year-olds. And when I say seasoned, I mean these horses have been there, they've done that, and they're trying to see what they can do, you know, here in the Derby. And again, it all goes back to the trainer and to the owner and the jockey's mindset. We're dealing with a completely different circumstance than we are in the spring. In the spring, going into the Derby, we have a lot of precocious two-year-olds. The weather plays a factor in the spring in Churchill, as we all know. It could be cold. It could be in the 40s, or it could be in the 80s. It could be raining, or it could be, you know, frost on the ground. And so leading up to the Derby, as normally when it's in the first Saturday in May, a lot of horses are going up and down on a roller coaster. They're going up and down with the weather. Some stay in California, some stay here in Florida late, and depending on the weather. If the weather's not good, they stay where they're at until, you know, 2-3 days before the Derby, and then they go. If the weather's good and they got a beautiful spring in Kentucky, which they have most of the time, you know, you like to get up there and you like to get the horses into, you know, the field and the mood of the race, you know, that's there. And so now, this is the time of year that the horses usually aren't bothered too much by weather or, you know, or crowds or, you know, what have you. And so now we're looking at another thing that we can toss in here along with the, you know, a bad track service, muddy track service, is there's not going to be a fan. And, you know, I know that the fans, the electricity at the horse venues, whether it's show horses, standing breads, thoroughbreds, you know, what have you, they get pumped up. And they know they can feel electric in there. They can feel all that. Well, now it's just like another day at the office for them. What's going to happen is they're going to walk over, and they'll make the walk over to the paddock from the barns. There's no crowds yelling at them. There's no overhead airplanes. There's no crowd, no screaming, no hollering. There's not 20 people walking over to the paddock with each horse. You know, you're just looking at a minimal amount, almost what they call a school, where you go over and school a horse, and there's nobody in the paddock, and you saddle them and you know, see how they react. And then one of the other things, too, that I haven't heard yet as of today, but they're debating on how they're going to play My Old Kentucky Home. Whether they're going to have the U of L band or, you know, whether they're going to be a recording or just what it's going to be. So that usually gets the crowd pumped up. They roar and they scream and they holler, and it transcends to the horse. And so that's going to be, you know, something that we got to take into consideration, too, you know. Like I said, you know, here with the Derby and all, we've got some great horses, seasoned horses. You know, the trainers have brought them up right. They've got them into prior races that would, like the Haskell, you know, like the Belmont. But those kind of races that you're in, you're running against the top quality horses in the world. And so you know what kind of horse you have. And all these horses wouldn't be there if their trainers and their owners didn't think they had something or that they didn't see something in that horse. They're not there just to run second or third, you know, or last. They're there to get a piece of that pie, the miniature Derby pie. Right now, we're going to go over the post positions. We're going to go over the horses and do a few little things here. This is our final lineup for the Derby Dozen. This comes from our friends at the Blood Horse magazine and the Blood Horse online. Go to www.bloodhorse.com, and it's a great website. You don't have to be a knowledgeable horse person to go to that website. If you go to the Blood Horse, you can see videos. You can see any and everything about the horse industry. They answer questions for you. There's so much you can do at that website that it's great. And one of the things that I always use here on the show is I go to the Derby Dust, and that's what we're going to hear over now. What we have is our final Derby Dozen, top of the list, was Tis the Law. And Tis the Law is a horse that, you know, nothing needs to be said about him. He's just good. This is one thing that I just didn't think he liked the track. It was the fall at Churchill Downs. I just think there was a lot to it. I think he was a young horse at that time. You know, he was learning the game. His heart is as big as it's all outdoors. But, you know, at that time, it was new to him. At that time, there was a crowd there at Churchill, a big crowd. And, you know, the weather was fall weather there, so that makes a big difference. And so now we're talking about no crowd. We're talking about an off track. And we're talking about no crowd. So it's completely different from the last time he was there. And so when he was there, he was upset, and he ran third as a favorite. He got in, he had an inside. Now get this, folks. He had an inside trip over a sloppy track. Had an inside trip over a sloppy track. Now he's going to have an outside trip over a sloppy track with 17 horses in this. Gonna be interesting. Gonna be interesting. You know, for him to see how he does. I think he's on the improve by race. His jock says that he's feeling good. He's a horse that he thinks it's gonna be able to run. And he said, but went on the outside, he's racing in the clear, suggesting his Derby draw post 17 is positive. So the jock feels like being on the outside is going to be an advantage for him, Tis the Law, to do all that. We'll just have to wait and see. Not much you can say when you get post 17, you know, like, oh, well, you know what I'm going to do. It's not, I can't leave it, so I'm going to have to like it. So that's what they're going to do, you know, with him. And then the second horse we had finish up was Honor AP. Honor AP is being ridden by Mike Smith. And Mike Smith is a fantastic rider. This guy gets so emotional into every race he runs. In fact, if he runs an allowance race, he's just as enthusiastic as he would be if he's running in the Derby. And so that's the big advantage for him. I like this horse. He's got a good bloodline on him. With everything that he does. He's galloping good in the mornings. He said he's coming into his own. Said he's got a lot of energy with him. And he says he doesn't know how, and this is always scares me, is when a jock comes up and says, and uncertainty is how this three-year-old will handle a new environment in Kentucky. This is California horse. So that kind of scares me, you know, when a horse is, they're not for sure how he's going to handle the plane trip down to Kentucky, the weather, you know, new surroundings and off track. A muddy track in Kentucky is different than a muddy track in California. So, you know, that's kind of, got me wondering a little bit, but Mike Smith, he is a great rider, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And now, these, you might have, some, a couple of these horses might have dropped out today or tomorrow of the Derby, but we're going down with them as we ended up with the Derby 12. Authenticate, that's a Bob Baffert trained horse. 5 days after a mile workout in August, he returned with 6 furlong moving, it was just very impressive. He had a shorter turnaround between drills, and it was caused by the mile workout being delayed a day. So no worries, said Baffert, five-time Derby, Kentucky Derby winner. He said, the greater concern is the Derby distance. The final furlong in the winning, the mile and an 8 mile in CBG Haskell was 13.23. So, you know, he didn't know if he can get the distance or not. But it's going to be interesting again, a California horse, and how they're going to travel. You know, how they're going to deal with the no fans and the mud. You know, that's what they're all looking at. You know, I'll tell you, it's going to be different. Then we want to look at New York traffic. New York traffic is a nice horse. Paco Lopez, who rode him to finish second in the UI-18 half school, and the May 23rd, Matt Wentz takes it to a jump now, returning in the irons. And see, again, this is a horse that's already had, you know, recently a, you know, race at Churchill Downs. So, you know, he's settled in. He knows what's going on. He knows what it's like not to have the fans there. He knows what it's like. He's been there doing his training there. And so and this is going to be just another, you know, part of his training. How will he react to the big field at 20 stall starting gate? You know, that remains to be unseen. But we know that he's been training on the track every day. You know, whether it's muddy, dry, you know, whether it's off, just what have you. You know, so we know what he's like. And it's going to be a race, I think, that he could possibly win. It depends on how he came out of the Matt Lynn. There's a lot of factors in that. But Paco Lopez is a really good job. And they're sticking with him, so that tells you a lot. So he needs another one to look at. Our fifth horse is King Guillermo. He's a horse that he doesn't possess the powerful body that you'll see on these other colts, that's for sure. He's an efficient mover. And when you get an efficient mover in a horse, they don't waste any energy with their stride. They get into a stride pretty quick, and they usually can hold that stride, carry that speed that they have of distance to the ground. They might not break fast, and might not have the first half mile, but they carry their speed to hold distance. And so I think he's going to be kind of a nice horse to look at. He's a Kentucky bred. The thing that I like about him, yeah, he could be faster, but he has. He's been kind of getting more range. He's fit. There's no question about it. He's been off for 4 months. He's been off for 4 months, so he's rested. And I think when a horse comes back off a 4 month layoff, that they're kind of excited to go, you know, get back to the track. Kind of excited to get back to the racing, to the competitive edge of it, you know, instead of, day in and day out training, which can get kind of monotonous. I think this is a horse that is good. Of course, as you know now, I think they're all good. I think they all can win because, I tend to keep living that dream. It's the journey that gets you there. That's what these horses are doing for. It's the journey that gets you there, for the trainers, the jockeys, and everybody. And on this journey, you see a lot of ups and downs. You see a lot of setbacks. You see a lot of different things that, can make a horse win or lose the race. And so, I think that 4 months layoff might be nice. He might have needed that refresher, because it was a hard road coming into the January of this year, and then all of a sudden COVID hits, and you got to rethink your training, and training dramatically changes too when this COVID hit. It changed because you don't know how long it's going to last, you don't know when the ban's going to be lifted, and you don't know what tracks are going to be open. So it's hard for a trainer to maintain a horse at a fit level, ready to race a grade one. That's hard to do. And not many trainers can do that. Not many trainers can do that at all. And then we're going to go to number six, is Max Player. Max Player, I tell you, And he's been very energetic in his morning gallops, and the work beneath the Twin Spires has just really got into him. You know, he's one of those horses that Steve Asmussen got, and you know, this was similar to back in the day, Giacomo sent the Bob Baffert's barn about 5 weeks prior to the Derby, you know, and you know what he did there. That was fantastic. But and this one, and you couldn't have gotten a better, I'll say a better gift than this, Max Linder. He like I said, he's energetic. He golfs good. He works Churchill good. He's trained by Steve Asmussen. Steve Asmussen, that guy, I tell you what, when I was training, I couldn't train a rat to eat cheese. Steve could train a rat to make the cheese that they're going to eat. That's how good of a trainer Steve is. But when I say that this is really a gift, is what happened with this horse. He was under the care of Linder Weiss. And after the Travers Stakes, the owner switched him over to Steve Asmussen's stable. It was interesting to see that happen. But, you know, Steve's had him less than 4 weeks. And so, but Linder Weiss, let me tell you something. Linder Weiss can get a horse ready, and she's just phenomenal in what she does when she's training the horse and getting a horse to start with me. I've seen Linden putting a four-horse entry into a race and finish first, second, third, and fourth. And she's a fantastic trainer. Now we come down to 1,000 Words. This is another Bob Baffert training horse. This horse is, I saw this horse run in California. And he's a nice horse, but he's up and down. He's up and down. I don't know, you know, what the deal is with him. You know, he looks good one day, and the next day he looks like another horse. You know, I don't know. He's a good horse. He won the stakes race, the Shared Belief, over Honor AP. And now, as a sign of regression, from the later speed figures, tell another story. He ran a 104 buyer rating. You know, Honor AP ran a 102. So this colt is out of the sprinter Pomeroy's pistol. His sire was a router. I just don't see where this is coming from in him. I don't know if he can get a mile and a quarter. Don't know if he can do it. He might be able to, but I just don't know. We don't know what kind of horse is going to show up. If he shows up like he did in the Share Belief, it's over with, my friends. If he shows up, it's over with. I'm telling you, he's really going at it. And Bob Baffert, again, you know, what I like about Bob Baffert is he don't tell you much. You know, he's always good on the horse, you know, and he sees the positive side, and Bob sees the negative side. And, you know, he's another horse you gotta look out for. I tell you, it could be another one. Like I said, it could be any one of these horses that show up, you know, that could win this thing. Then, we're down to the number 8 horse, Sol Volante. Patrick Beacole. Patrick Beacole is a fantastic trainer. He's more, let's say, a distance kind of trainer. And that's what I like about Patrick. His horse race showed up at Churchill Downs on August the 30th. He shipped in from here in South Florida, here in Delray Beach, from Palmetto's training center. And he has raised him exclusively. Now, note this, folks, exclusively on the turf. He has been on the turf. And that tells me a lot. That tells me that Patrick is sitting on a horse that can get a lot of ground with no problems. remember that. On the turf, on the dirt. And if it's going to be a sloppy track, it's his ball. It's his ball. But like I said, we don't know who's going to show up. It could be any of them, you know. Our nine horse is Enforceable. He's a Mark Cassie trained horse. Had other horses that work faster, a few look better. We just don't know. He was out of the Derby Dozen last week. I don't know. I don't know if he's just trying to grab something, you know, and go with it. But this horse is just really not, and I don't get down on horses. He hasn't shown anything to me, you know. Another horse is Storm the Court that we're looking at. You know, he was the juvenile champion. And this makes his presence in the Derby makes the sixth straight year that a juvenile champion has been in the race. There are two or five since 2015. American Farrell and Nyquist are the only ones that came about as two-year-old champions and won the Derby. So, you know, is history going to show itself and have him run out, up the track? We don't know. You know, we'll have to hope that it doesn't. We wish him the best. But, again, you know, he's got that cloud over him of being a two-year-old champion, you know, over there. And so now we're back out here at our 11th horse is Empire. He is a Court Vision, sorry about that. Last year he ran sixth in the juvenile behind a lot of good horses. And again, you know, I just don't think that this route of ground is going to be good for him. Now we're at an 11 Authenticate, which is a Dale Romans horse. He just won for eight. He's on the rise. His speed ratings were 95 buyer speed ratings, and he's not, you know, really right there, I don't think. I really don't think so, you know, with him. Then we have our 12th horse. It's called South Bend. This is a late 11th hour entrant into the Derby, and so he'll be in the Derby mix. He's not without a chance. The last rally from a share of the purse that he was running for was good. And, you know, he was a runner-up in the Ohio Derby. He ran good. He ran a 97 speed rating. He was fourth in the Travers. You know, I think he's just coming into his own. We'll have to look for him at Breeders' Cup. But, sorry for the rambling on, guys and girls, and all my listeners out there on two level. It was a good rambling today. And if I ever get another thoroughbred, my name is Rambling Scott. He'll run anywhere, anytime. But, no, folks, just remember, NBC this weekend for the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby. NBC's got a lot of good sports on this weekend, so it's a good weekend. Everybody stay safe, wear your mask. And when this is all over, get out to the track and see a horse. Go to any course, show horse course, standard bred course, thoroughbred course. Go out to a course and see the horse. That's what we're asking for you, and thanks for being with us. And look forward to giving you the results next Thursday at 1 o'clock. And we'll have our Preakness preview, and we'll have polo next week, international polo. There you go, guys.